Good morning, KN6MGK. Well, I was playing a little FT8, but the only thing coming back to me is Japan. Looking for DX, you know. I see other things, Korea and stuff, but yeah. Anyway, oh, there's one from Fiji. Wow, I'll have to try to get him. Yeah, this Fiji station could be our friend Barry, by the way. I forget his Fiji call. Yeah, you have to get involved with that Chabosco net, at least listening in the mornings at 7:30. And then you'd find out information about him. But last I heard, he's you can look up his call and stuff like that, but he's in New Zealand. Yeah, but right now it's okay, right? Now you probably hear the hum back, right? This to be confirming. So I turned it back on. Yeah. Trying to run a little extra power. Anyway, no Fiji. He didn't come back to me, so that's okay. I gave him about four or five calls. Yeah, especially if it was him. I could look up the call here, but if it was him, he's an advanced operator. He would try, I'm sure. Yeah, for me, I put a CQ out there, and Japan came back, two different Japanese stations, and so I didn't even go back to them. See, I'm selfish, huh? I guess you can call me selfish. I don't know. I just have lots of Japanese stations there, so maybe someday. And by the way, it did come back. Fiji did come back to me. So, are you seeing anything good out on the bands? Okay. Yeah. What are YB stations? YB5, I think those are China, right? I guess that's Indonesia. Yeah, I said Indonesia, so hopefully, because that Tunisia might be another country. I don't think I do. I'll try to get him. Well, caught Indonesia. Okay, so Chris said down here, who lives, as you drive a quarter mile from me, but it's a little less as a crow flies. Anyway, he put up a... Well, he didn't put anything up, actually. He has he bought one of those, like, credit card style Meshtastic nodes, put it on long fast. Well, come 10 o'clock last night, he must have got it up because it started its beacon, and I got it right away, and so he and I were chatting back and forth on Meshtastic from his little credit card node thing inside of his house to mine. So I guess it works at short distance. Nothing, that was just the device itself. Now, for me, I have the two nodes, so it might be picking it up on the outside roof node. That's my assumption. But anyway, yeah, I just thought I'd let you know. And we're both on long fast. So, yeah, it's just like the credit card looking thing. They cost about $30. Yeah, so I think I might have to end up getting you at least one of those, stick it in my pocket kind of thing, if it works that good. That's because all I need is something like that to carry around with me with my phone. Then I need a longer distance one, like something for the rooftop that would be like maybe a little more powerful or something. I'm still looking into that. That would be interesting. How did your trial run go? I was kind of expecting to hear a little bit about that. And did you try your triangulation technique? I don't think so. I don't remember, though, for sure. I'd have to look at the settings. generally, that's like if you're wanting to hook it into the internet or something, right? Yeah, I think he's hooking up to the internet, he mentioned, right? Well, if you look at that video that Temporarily Online just did, he talks about that, you know, because he's in Arizona somewhere and he wasn't getting any notes popping up. So he turned that on or whatever and hooked it into the, you know, the USB-C data cable into one. And started, you know, he could populate nodes and stuff like that. But it's using the internet, so. But it's a way of getting started, at least to see if it works and how it works and all that, I guess. I haven't been able to do nothing until, other than just put out calls, until Chris put his up, you know, a quarter mile away, so. Might end up taking some of that stuff happening in order for it really to start working. Well, I guess I got Asiatic Russia again. KN6MGK, good morning. It's kind of fun, but yeah, I mean, I could definitely use more countries. See, are you, how much above 100 are you now? Well, it's a contest. I gotta try to catch up to you. Hell yeah, I will. It's a goal. It's gonna take some time. But it's tougher for you because you've already got those, say, 100 or so. So, you know, I think I'm, what am I, 26 away? So it's easier for a guy who needs a lot more. Yeah, we're talking countries. Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's my goal, 100. Yeah, I want to be like my brother up there in Magalia, man. How about John? Does he ever use his big beam up there and see what he can do? I remember him doing it with you for a little while. Does Ernie use his anymore? Does Ernie have a tower, I guess? I'm guessing that's yes. Well, there might be a chance you can do that in the future. So you might start getting prepared, getting the names and stuff, cutting them trees down. There's a POTA station on, I can't believe it. So I'm going to try for them. Of course, it's Texas.
Yeah, talk about sleeping in. N6NTM. Good morning.
Good morning, we were talking about you.
Looks like my sweetie's going to work this morning. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I slept in so late. Yep. But that's the way love is. Got a few things done anyway. But Ronnie came over here after he left your place. I fed him some apple pie and he likes that Matt's off-road towing or something. Then I showed him Wrecker Rick's Murphy's Deal towing. And I think he watched two of those. I was surprised he hung out so long. Yeah, I explained that to him too. Yeah, he did. And he still used a cutoff wheel to cut it instead of the portaband. Oh, I brought it over for that project right there. Otherwise, I'll have to call down there to Thomas Hydraulic to see what that costs. He's going to use it for something he's going to do. Yeah, before I use those, I like to heat up some grease. You know, you smear it on it, and then you heat it up with a torch or something, whatever you got, heat gun, whatever, and work it back and forth so the grease gets inside them piano hinges, I think they call those. But anyway, because you know if those are out in the weather, they will rust if you don't coat them on the inside. So my memory's not serving me. Seemed like they had some type of a title down there by them. They got all different lengths and thicknesses and flange widths and all that stuff. So what, he wanted to buy something different to put on that, your deal? Well, since he's decided to go exorbitant on prices, it's my chance to get some money back. Oh, yeah. Check. No, I didn't. Just got up. I went on, 3900 last night for a little bit, and they got that poop disturber. Evidently he lives in Reno or something. Comes out there cussing and swearing and carrying on, keying up on people, just saying cuss words. Doesn't actually talk. Dennis has always had a surefire way of getting rid of them kind of people. As soon as they come on there, nobody else keys up. You can do what you want, go to a different channel or turn it off or whatever, but you don't respond to the guy. And after a couple of times, they know it doesn't do them a damn bit of good to come there to poop disturb because pretty soon they're sitting there by themselves, so they just go to another channel. It's very hard for me to do that. I like to rile them up, and I got a million games to play with them that I used for over 30 years on the CB, so yeah, I can usually fire them up pretty good. Animal noises works real good. You tell them, hey, can you make any animal noises? And get them talking, you know. I have got them to make noises before, and then you move to the next animal. How about a cow? Can you do a cow? You know, it doesn't take long before they realize that they've been duped, but then they come back all the time.
That's why we like these digital modes, right? It's a little harder to poop disturb on FT8.
Well, anyway, Desert Dave or some other guy that I didn't know, they continued to try to talk to each other. Back in the good old days, I would have paid that guy a visit. Reno's not that far.
Haven't heard you guys talking about your fishing game in a while. Hey, incidentally, have you been getting this de-expedition from Vanuatu? He's been on in the mornings and been on right now. Anyway, I got him for a second time. Oh, that's okay. Yeah, this is a long-term project. Anyway, but yeah, I was thinking that you get up early, you know, do some FT8 in the morning. Anyway, A's on right now. This YJ0GC from Vanuatu, the D Expedition. Only on for a couple more days. 40 meters. And I probably only got like maybe, 15 more minutes or so that I could even operate before I gotta get the wife up and get some breakfast going, stuff like that.
Well, I'm thinking coffee's in order. I'll be right back. N6 NTM. All right, well, it's a brewing. N6 NTM. I was looking for immediate satisfaction, so I'm drinking a cold frappuccino. But it's a brewing anyway. That'll set me for the day. I didn't expect Lori to go to work today, but oh yeah. I'll have to figure out what I'm going to get done. Well, you know, We put new ones around on Lori's mom's house, but I got those, and I have a couple of them, brand new, those screens that you put for the air openings along the siding, you know. That's probably your easiest way, just to cut out a couple square holes and screw one of those on there. Keep the critters out. Oh yeah, it'd probably look nicer. Gotta get the ones with the screen in them. Yep, I'd get the chemical guy to spray real good in there too. Have you run it with that on there? Yeah. Well, over the past years, generally, I always worked hand in hand with that. That way I made sure of certain things. And of course, that was back in the cigarette smoking days. He liked to take a cigarette break where that's all you did is sit around and talk or sit someplace, have a beer or whatever. Back then, I always asked him, "What do you want to do a job?" See, then it didn't matter how long it took. We agreed on a price that sounded good to me. I'd say go for it. Yeah, then it. Sometime back, it turned into an hourly thing. The cigarette smoking thing. Well, he eventually quit. So, yeah. There is a lot of meandering going on there, though. But generally, I didn't care. It's just like any old friend hanging around. You and me have done it a bunch of times. You know, you talk about all different kind of stuff while you're getting it done. No big deal in general. But when it's hourly, yeah, you can't. It's not profitable to do it. And all the running to the store three times in a single day. Supposed to be prepared for that part ahead of time. I don't like paying for trips to Chico. Normally, that's the gopher work, and I do that part. As soon as it takes the need to go do that, I'm sure not going to pay somebody 30 or 40 bucks an hour to go to Chico. Coffee's up at 6 NTM. And 6 NTM. Well, I made a big mess. Oh boy. I thought it was going to be one of them mornings, but the cleanup ended up pretty good, so. Now I'm enjoying the fresh Cadillac. Run, everybody. Yeah, good morning, Mr. Blake. All right, I'll catch you guys tomorrow. Yeah, good morning to you. Good to hear your chipper voice this morning. They sounded okay, but I know what you're talking about. I did hear it picket fence once or twice, but it was lightweight. The audio sounds good. See if I can get it right. Was it Dan or Paul? He was doing fine then. A lot of dirt between here and there. Well, what's on the agenda today? Paul? he might be having some driving difficulties. I didn't ask Steven what was on his agenda for the day either. Blake probably only has one eye open, so I won't even ask him. A bar, huh? I can't think of a better way to start your morning. I didn't have the catch container in the coffee, the bean grinder, in there all the way. So I knew I already had a little mess to clean up, but while it was brewing, I didn't have the little catch pot, the coffee pot, in there all the way. I managed to get a full cup of coffee, but it made a big mess all over the counter, so don't feel too bad. I've been in there the last 15 minutes cleaning up all the grounds and the spewed coffee. But I still maintain a good attitude anyway. Oh, heck, I brewed a whole cup of coffee before and didn't ever even put the pot underneath to catch any of it. And that made a huge mess. Not that I worry about it, even liquid messes being too much of a problem, but luckily enough, it don't happen all that often. Yeah. We don't put our garbage out. We only have the one smallest can, so for two households. I installed a trash compactor, so I can actually go 2 weeks without worrying about missing the garbage guy. But, yep, we don't put the garbage in the garbage can and wheel the can out by the curb until about an hour before they get here. We'd never had a bear problem. But I have seen dogs, because, you know, the logging and everything. I have seen dogs going from one garbage can to the next one. They know exactly how to tip them over. Lori's mom used to put a bungee cord on hers. So even if a dog knocked it over, they weren't clever enough to get inside it. They just move on down to the next one. let me see. What is it that they don't like? It's not vinegar. Anyway, right on the handle where you lift it open, you just tie a good sized rag on there, and I was hoping whatever they put on it, it's a smell that they don't like, and generally they don't smell the garbage because that inundates it. But anyway, one morning, the guy was out there, and it had the strap across the can to hold it closed. And the guy just kept shaking the can, until he broke the strap. It was pretty funny. He probably did it for 30 seconds. Just radical hydraulic movement until it broke the strap. So, yeah, we just don't put it out. Tara, you probably haven't heard Tara out here too many times, but they had all kind of problems up there. They got an old truck or something out in the yard. They put their garbage out there in there before they put it in the can. Yeah, and they've had the bear crawl through the chicken coop roof, get up on the roof, rip the roof back, and jump down inside there. So we have never had no problems with the bear. I'm a light sleeper, so And I got a baby monitor out there. That's the other way around it. I don't know what you could do with your garbage out in the road to put a baby monitor, but in a chicken coop, that works good. I'm out there in a hot flash with the shotgun. They run away. One shot, they run away. Oh, we're not near a neighborhood like yours. We got lots of land around us that people shoot whenever they want around here. I don't shoot the bear. All you got to do is shoot toward them from a good distance. They just run away. They're afraid of the noise. You got guns, Blake. Look. Grab a couple of wad cutters. That way you can shoot them right, shoot the noise right toward the bear, and it ain't gonna ricochet or go through anybody's car or any of that stuff. It's a lot of work to clean a bear down. I wouldn't shoot them. Well, what do you think, Jay? Can you see the electrical cord going up on the garbage truck lift up there and arcing and jumping around as he's trying to dump the can with the cord attached? Well, we went to a lady's house up in can't remember what they call it area. All the rich people up there, up on the lake, up around. Can't think what they call that area, but anyway, it's up by Reno, but it's this side, Big Lake. And everybody has the exact same garbage deal. They're bear-proof. They did away with that problem when they built that community up there. Now, a little bit over there, more toward on the other side of 80. Up on the mountains up there, Big Lake. A real common place. All the richy people live up there. It burned a couple years ago. A double. No. It's about two and a half hours from here. You go like you're going to Reno, but it's still a little bit south. Close. Giant lake, huge. I've been out on it. Can't believe it, the name of that. Everybody knows about that area. But anyway, it's not that important where it is, but the whole community has this big metal communal-style garbage can. It's like the old mailboxes. You can put stuff in it, but you can't get it back out, and the door's big enough to put plastic bags on it. They can't get in it, though. It works pretty good. When they go in to get it to dump it, when the forks are all the way in and push forward, it unlatches the roof. And they dump it the same way they do our cans, but it's a much bigger deal. It's set by periodically around the community up there. Must have cost them a small fortune. Well, what's Steven getting done today? Sounds like Terry's having problems with his Flex radio. I texted him and reminded him about Pirate Ship. There's one of the nice things about Flex radios, though he's had his problems. He said he'll never buy another Flex radio this morning. I felt sorry for him. Not that I'm laughing at him about it or anything, because it ain't really funny, but it's a bummer. This just takes one or two hams to give a radio a bad name. And I love mine. I had never had no complaints other than customer service. I probably wouldn't buy another Flex product because of their customer service. The radios are bad to the bone. It's the same thing you and me went through, Jay. For one thing, I didn't read the update. You got to read the whole update before you do it, because otherwise I would have known to. You have to go in and download or upload the program before the one you're running. You have to start back one in order. You know what they were. You know what was going on with that whole deal. And if you had the linear and the radio, you had to do them both. Otherwise, those radio wouldn't operate the linear after you updated the radio to the latest version. If it wasn't for you, I probably wouldn't even have a Flex radio right now. I was about ready to put that one underneath the back tire on the truck. But anyway, it in turn blew up the amp, and of course that cost me about $350 to or more to fix, and then I sold it for half of what I paid for it and had into it. But anyway, that was a nice amplifier. They build a good product, but the testing on the software, they don't devote enough time for it before they release it. And I've seen that happen a couple of times with them. Then you're back dealing with customer service, so it's just not worth it. I'll keep the one I got, and I'll probably sell it broken if I ever get rid of it. Well, yeah, I never had any problem with the Maestro except for what I did to it with the cord. I do have a complaint there with them, those little small jacks. They don't live up to yanking on the cords whatsoever. And if you just happen to yank it the right direction, it bends where it touches the tip. Yeah, I can make the Maestro work if I hold the jack over to one side for the modulation. Otherwise, it does everything else. You already know that. You made it work. Yeah. Well, anyway, the whole computer and the radios, I wouldn't even have got that little repeater style crossband repeat thing out in the garage for the Handy Talk on if it wasn't for Steven coming up. And he had that kind of radio, that 400 Yaesu. He had those down. And so it wasn't nothing for him to do it. I just don't want to apply myself. The thrill is gone at that end of radio. But anyway, I could fix the Maestro. One of these days I might get a wild hair if I wind up in a wheelchair or something, and I got nothing better to do than to occupy myself. I can fix the Maestro easy enough. It's just making that one connection and hardwiring it, the microphone to it, or putting a jack in the side. There is enough room in there to put the jack on the side. And they could have fixed the whole wiring problem had they just made a strain relief somewhere in the middle of the back of it so that the cord had to run through an S-shape anything, all the cords, to hold it. So if you accidentally yanked it, it couldn't bend the prongs inside the jack. Not that big a deal. You could hear Steve talking on the radio, Jay. He likes using the computer instead of a Maestro. He sold both his Maestros. He likes the way it looks on the screen. A 15-inch laptop or whatever, touch screen. Yep. So he sent me a little short video of what it looks like, and it does look nice. You don't even need the Maestro. Oh, yeah, I already figured that out, because one time while I was playing with it, I seen it modulate. And so I reached back there and started moving the plug around. And I could make it work that way. So the opening is so small, and if you take it apart, which I've had it apart before, they got it that part of the board submerged in some type of it's not really a silicone application. It's not epoxy, but you can't just get to it. So I took the board completely out of there, because that's its own separate board, all the jacks. And you can see the bottom of the board just fine. All you got to do is get it hooked up, get it operating, because it does all that just fine. And then you just need to feel around with your finger until you hear it hum when it's keyed up. Watch it on another radio, whatever, until it hums, and then you found the contact on the bottom of the board. See what I'm getting at? Then you drill a hole in the side of the case. There's just enough room around there. Put your own mic jack in and run the ground and the positive wire to your new jack from the board directly, and don't mess with the epoxy or the silicone. You know why they like to put electronics in a suspension like that, because They know you're going to be carrying the Maestro around or whatever, and so the electronics goes through heck, dropping it and setting it down hard, and airplane trips and you name it. So they just suspend it in some type of gel that hardens. So anyway, I didn't feel like digging all that out, because then it would look like a whoop-de-poop-de. I think my way of fixing it's the easiest way. I sent it up to Larry. He took it over to Dennis's house before he passed away, up on 37 and 97, I mean. And, it was starting to get sick. He has since passed away, but he didn't have the unction to fix it. He had fixed one before that, so he knew what to do. He just didn't have the unction to do it. So 6-8 months later, I can't remember what the deal was, but I think the next time I went up there, I collected it from Larry, and it's been sitting here ever since. See, with the Starlink in the RV, with Starlink text me yesterday, by the way, just to keep you up to date on that. Due to demand, it's going to be late for them to be sending me the Starlink Mini. It's only $5 a month, and you can cancel any time and put it back into a non-op for $5 a month. Otherwise, it's $65 a month. Yeah, maybe it's even $165 a month for that Starlink on-the-go thing. It's pretty small. Smaller than the unit you put on your house, which isn't that big a deal to carry in an RV anyway. But when we hit the road, you know I gotta have that Starlink. And it would be so easy to operate the base station here rather than outfit the whole RV with another whole separate radio antenna and all that stuff. Between the Starlink and the and the maestro, that would have been great. Who knows how I'll tackle that problem when I get to it. I remember, Jay, $165 a month for the Starlink if you run it in no data cap roam mode. That way, while you're driving the truck, you can talk on your base station. I got a 6500 inverter and two 7000s to choose from. It's this 3500 that I just bought. I wish I'd have got the 5000. That would have ran everything. But that little 600 amp is only 110. It's not that much amperage, so I don't think I'm worried about that. If it's hot enough outside to run the air conditioner inside while you're sitting still, I'll probably be out and hiking and doing stuff. Early in the morning, I probably won't be running the air conditioner, the guys I talk to. So, who knows? Jay, maybe I'll be out in Arizona and it'll already be 100 degrees outside when I get up in the morning to yak it up with the normal crew. About mounting the amp right out there by the antenna in the back of the truck. Oh, yeah. Well, you have a very short cord running to the amp. I already did it. I ran the compressor for a half a day. And I checked the cord periodically. There wasn't any problem there. I don't want to pop that grill cover off up there on the top, and I'm sure not getting up on the roof for any reason unless a tree falls through it. Yep. I've learned over the years what things not to do to create more work for yourself when it comes to roofs. That's why I'm not going through the roof in the shop to put a fireplace in out there. I'm going through the sidewall down there where I can reach it. But anyway, yeah, 30 amps ain't a big deal for a number 10 cord. That is a heck of a nice cord. It's good. It's rated at 50 amps, even at 100 feet. I sure like the marine application the best. That, you know, a threaded ring that holds it in place and it's watertight. That was the best connection. I'm not even taking it with me. The generator's going to be in the back of the truck. I have a 20-foot and a 30-foot cord. It's hardly any use on either one of them, so I'll just run the generator. Well, we watched some shows last night, Jay, that Lori found on cross-country parks to parks, hitting all the parks, all the national parks. That's a one particular run that a lot of people do. And some campgrounds that you go to won't allow you to run a generator, and some of those parks won't let you run a generator even though they don't have plug-in facilities. And I also learned something else about that deal, especially KOA. A lot of people buy a seasoned spot. I don't know what that costs, but a lot of people book, they've already done it before. They know what places they're going to and when they're going to be there, so they make sure they save them a spot. You got to call ahead of time. If you have a season pass, you can call within a week or two and they'll save you a spot, or even a month. And then if somebody leaves or the next available spot, they end up holding that for you. And they have a couple of spots that they always leave open for full season people. So anyway, I don't plan on doing that sort of thing. I see a road that runs off the side of the highway, a dirt road. I'm just heading out that way and pulling over on the side or at the first open area and sleeping there for the night. if we find a place next to a creek and hang out for a couple of 4 days or 7 days, whatever you're able to do. Yeah, I'm not gonna go from campground to campground. Forget that. Yeah, I've seen it being over the road. I was down in L.A. and one of the ham operators there. Lived a couple of blocks from the Walmart, maybe it was a Kmart, and I just pulled the big rig in there. It was six or seven of them in there. They had a huge parking lot, and there was plenty of motorhomes in there, like Cabela's. They had a separate little lot just for big rigs and stuff, and you could just pull in there sleeping, leave in the morning. Yep, little mall-like places. Back east too, that I went to, that were just four big rigs, but campers went in there, had little communities just like what you're talking about, washer and dryer, showers, and one or two restaurants. Yeah, I seen those. They had one right there in Orland that had the window units, but I think they only had 10 spots for that. That way you didn't have to run your truck. It's hard, real hard on a diesel motor. You're just wiping the miles off it if you let it idle all night. In fact, through the Qualcomm, if you pulled over into a place like that, it would start and stop your engine. As the air conditioner would come on, it would start the truck engine and cool the truck down and then shut it off just so it wasn't idling all night. They made it illegal in a lot of places to let it idle all night anyway. But those guys that are over the road, they don't care about the mechanic repair bill. It's just the owner-operators. I don't even know if Orland still has that through the window thing, but that was a good idea. I don't know what they charge them guys for a night. But some of them guys only drive at night, Jay. And so they pull in those places during the day, put that in the window, and sleep all day while it's hot, all nicely air-conditioned. And, yeah, nighttime comes around, they take it out and drive all night. Truck lasts longer driving at night anyway. I'd like to finish this little ice box. I'm almost there. I made a couple of big time improvements. I wish I wouldn't have drilled the holes in the side where I did now. It's an easy fix. And if I really want to, I could go down and spend the $28. That's with tax and everything for a new ice chest. But this one's almost done, so I'm going to live with it. I found those gray pipe. They have electrical sweeps for the wire, and the opening on the inside's bigger than the clear tube. If you go with the 3/4 inch, I like that better. The clear tube, I gotta go from the outside of the chest, but on the inside, you ought to see how nice that looks with the preformed sweeps. Coming up out of the fan and just going up and pointing straight toward the output to go through the case. And then I put the ribbed deal so you can put a plastic hose on the outside to run the air where you want to. So I end up with a not such a sharp bend using that clear tube, 1.25 inches. The sweep has plenty of room inside of it. So, and it makes it look real clean inside the box, Jay. You'll like it. So what are you doing, FT8-ing it? Oh, yeah. You can just hook the whole thing up and measure the output on top of the linear to see if it matches the numbers I already wrote down that we did from the stock fan. Yeah, I really appreciate you giving me, making that data available to me with your, I was going to call it a monocular, but yeah. Yeah, anemometer. It's a 3-in-1 thing anyway, isn't it? It does temperature and everything. That thing's bad to the bone. Yeah, we'll be able to match it up. That's what you gave me the variable for, Jay. I can adjust the flow without creating back pressure at the fan. And there is no equal to it right now. I'm just running one linear off it. I'm going to run two hoses out of it so I can run one in the back where the 4-inch fan is on the back just to cool the whole inside of the unit besides the one that's isolated with the blower fan on the inside that just does the tubes. I'll run two hoses. The one that just blows around on the inside is an optional thing. You don't even need a 4-inch fan on the outside. But if you want to cool the whole case, and since I got two sides to pull off of, so I'm only going to have two pipes and two outlets for now, but I have the capability of running five pipes out of there. I got two on one side of the fan and three on the other side, so 3/4-inch outlets in case I need to expand somewhere down the road. I can run a hose over to anything, the back of the 9700. Or even over to the 101. Whatever, anything I want to cool now, I got a blower capabilities. Yeah, that'd be nice. Just for the hell of it, a couple LEDs on the side of it or the front of it to make it look appropriate. Yeah, I need to get a nice strain relief for the power cord running into the inside of it, but it's all going to look pretty darn sweet. I might play with that today. I found a fresh tube of 2-cylinder epoxy and some ATV clear that I'd bought, and this was out in the shed. I wouldn't even have spotted that. I'm going to wait till I get it completely done before I apply any glues. Oh, I wouldn't change the part that I would epoxy. If I epoxied anything, it would just be where you push on the slip-on barbed outlet so you can put those. You know, if you transport it, it's just an ice chest, and if you want to disconnect it from the clear tubing, you just slide it on and off the barb fitting on the outside. Once that's glued in, you can take it apart on the outside. On the inside, it's all that gray 3/4-inch PVC. Yeah. I got away from the barbed clear tubing on the inside because it makes such a sharp bend that it collapses it. So I went to electrical PVC sweeps. Can't beat that. And then it makes it look a lot nicer in there. I was thinking air horns. It sounds familiar. I think I've seen that. Yeah. I think I've seen that on the early models, like the 60 Thunderbird. Maybe it was a little earlier, 58 or 9 or something. The first thoughts of the tilt wheel invention. Yeah, well, I was watching those things last night about traveling across the United States, and that guy put an air horn under his Airstream. How do you like that? 4-footer. Comes with the electrical pump, and I was very impressed. Very impressed. Actually, it was a 2-horn setup. They were both separate from each other. Both horns, and he put a button on his wife's side so that He made the one longer horn, and she made the shorter. They were both the same loudness, and they ran on the same tank of air. It was pretty funny. They could almost play a little tune between the two of them, pushing the buttons. You know, they were playing with it. I think all the Thunderbirds were two doors. And yeah, the 60 model one was a full-size car, no doubt about it. That's just the way it was. But they made the other model. I know what you're talking about. Before the 60 models came out, the sport size. And even it was too big. It was mid-size compared to today's standards. I rode in one that had a 409 or something, and I wasn't impressed. It did lift the right side or the left side of the car up when you floored it. But the damn thing was so heavy, there was nothing quick about it. I always liked the body style. Removable hardtop at that. At least I got to ride in one. And I owned a 60 and a 61. And those were bigger, like you're saying, much wider. And what a dream car. What a dream car. Man, I love driving that. But even in those days when gas was under 50 cents a gallon, it was still a gas hog. Eight little men with buckets. Well, it is possible that this one might have had, the 61 might have had it. Maybe it was an option, and I just never seen it. Back in those days, somebody offered me $300 or $500 for a car that I just bought to fix up and sell. I took it, as I didn't always have a car more than a month or two. You bet, yeah. So who knows? It could have had it, and I just didn't find that how you activated it. Yeah, it did sound familiar, though, Jay. I think I've seen a car with that. Well, I know. Yeah. Well, I'll keep that comment to myself. You know, Tupperware parties and everything. Yeah, you wouldn't have appreciated that comment anyway. Yeah, well, they were doing the best they could when the first ideas came into mind. Telescoping, they were probably having a problem because you remember it was probably around the 60s that they started making, after a few head-on collisions, rammed the steering wheel right through the guy's neck. They started making it a law that you had to have a telescoping attachment down to the steering gear. I even put one on the 38. But anyway, you can only imagine what kind of conditions they were going through. Even on a 9-inch swing away, they had to have a universal in there. It was a big selling feature. You know, the guy that was selling the new cars would leave the door open and swing it away for the customer. So I can't wait to show that to everybody. Sounds about right. I was pitching Ricky Ricardo, you know, with Lucy. Driving one of those. Yeah, 390 was probably the most common motor they used, what, after 60. That 57 or so, smaller Thunderbird with the portholes in it that I rode in, that had a 409 in it. Way too big. Sounded nice. Lifted the front up nice, but I expected it to burn rubber, and I think it could break them loose, but you're only talking a few feet at best. If you look at the weight of that car back then, Jay, I'll bet you it's even the smaller, sportier one, still 6,000, 7,000 pounds. So in 55, I don't remember which way it went because I was too young, but the 55 smaller model, before the 60s model, the fins that were over the taillights in the back, like Cadillac used to do, were straight up and down. Then to make them different, maybe about 59 or something like that, 58, they slanted them so that they were outward. And instead of straight up and down, they were pointing outward. And then, you know, you remembered, Jay, here just recently in the last, what, 7 or 10 years, they remade that smaller model Thunderbird with the removable hard top with portholes. I didn't care for that one compared to the original. The Nostalgia Crew. Yep. I think they got them all. Mercury, Lincoln, Jaguar later. Well, they did ride nice, I tell you that. I hated to get rid of that 60 or that 61. I only had that for a week. Same guy that bought the 60 from me bought the 61. What a beautiful car to drive. Man. As good as a Cadillac any day of the week. Oh, brother. That was my giggle for the morning. And this stupid exhaust pipe running across over the water pump in the front of the motor. Oh, brother. The things we came up with back in the day. Which is something else I got to do, Jay. And I may run the clear hose up and over the top of the linear. Just so I could put a pin on the inside of the hose with a piece of ribbon on it so I could see the flow in case it ever quits on me. I hate to ruin a $500 metal tube over no airflow. I have it. I have that set up. I still have that little setup. And a temperature gauge that it runs through the tube for the liquid cooling. I have that whole setup. I think I showed it to you. The Zalman liquid cooled. Now you've got the chipsets and manifolds and all that stuff. Still got it all, brand new, never used. Even I got two bottles of the non-conductive fluid, cooling fluid. And no, it's K something, I think. I was going to say MGM's call sign, but I brain farted on the first part. What Blake do the other day when he was riding with you and I signed out with his call sign. Yep, Timer ran a big stick from the back seat hump out of a station wagon, cut a hole in a rubber donut through the roof, had a big stick. You guys probably seen that. Blake probably did. Talk about stupid looking, a big stick, an 18-foot antenna sticking out of the middle of a station wagon. Oh, brother, He definitely had some Okie in him. Well, it's just... Looks like Ronnie sent me an e-message. Hey, what was this hinge for? It looks like a Bronco windshield hinge. They sold a hinge for a Bronco front windshield fold down. I guarantee you they got way over $100 for that length. like I got to call Thomas Hydraulics today. See what they get for it. And then they'll tell me what you asked the name of that hinge is. So anyway, I was busy sending him a voice text. I can't believe Steven hasn't keyed up in 45 minutes. No, I always heard them call a piano hinge, but there's another technical name for it. The type of hasp or something. Yeah, it's just not coming to me. You had another name for it. It was just going to sit in the garage. I don't know what I'd used it for. The nice thing about those are that when you put them on a door, they're already lined up. You can't screw it up. You know, like when you put on two hinges and you got one slightly crooked, the door gets in a bind every time you open it, depending on how out of kilter. These metal doors that I have here, these security doors, they already have the hinge and the flange square box tubing that you put three bolts through to attach it to wood. Someday you might see where I put one on her shed. That came out nice. Very nice. And works perfectly. Check. Interesting. I see. Or they might have the actual term. I just have a vague memory that Thomas had a little sign above the stack they had. They had all different lengths. 2 feet, 3 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet, you know. And that was at least a 5-footer. So, yeah. Can't believe he didn't use it. That would have guaranteed you a perfect opening. He wouldn't add to brace the back of the cabinet or any kind of weird stuff. Not tuned up on 97, but I hear Ken or Larry, the other weatherman, Larry. Again, there's Terry heading out the door. This is the first morning in a long time that I just listened and didn't key up. Ha ha ha. I never heard SQ Larry. Yeah, I wish I would have never told him about 97. He knew one or two of the people from over the years, but he never went there in the morning. I listened for 7 to 9 months before I even keyed up there. Steve kept inviting me off 3900 to go there early in the morning. And I wanted to get to know everybody's name and the flow. You know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. That way you blend. You don't end up with some weirdo that decides they don't like you and mistreating you. So I waited and waited, and I never heard him out there. So eventually I did start talking up there. I told him about it because they're a different sort of group. And they've been together out there 20, 30 years, like 3900 was. So anyway... Larry's ruined it. He ran Rich off of there, who I didn't like anyway, but I just didn't talk to him. And he's you've been privy to some of the latest stuff, so yeah. So anyway, we won't talk about people out here. I notice you always change the subject when we start doing that, but anyway. Doot, doot, doot. It's getting light out. I was going to jack Steven up for what he was going to get done today. It'll be interesting to see what Ron decides to do. I mean, his original idea or plan, which I didn't like, by the way. I don't like sliding wood across wood. I would have at least put some type of a low-profile wheel or something, wheels on it, so that and a handle on the front so you could pick it up a little bit and roll it out. And then still you had to go all the way around the side because the porch ain't deep enough to, you got to move it over to the side or pivot it out in order to do, especially the gas. Yeah, I would do that whole thing differently. They sell little 12-volt gas pumps, Jay, so that you could pump the fuel into there. You just put the hose inside your gas can or whatever and let it pump it into the tank. But I would just get a permanent 5-gallon tank, whatever. How much fuel does that mammoth inverter you got? Hold. Don't tell anybody that. Still electric. Probably safer that way. That is the nicest way to fill it up, and you don't have to worry about all that. If you just had a 5-gallon container, you'd probably never overfill it. You wouldn't have to lift the lid or do anything if you get the right gas cap, which I don't know if Honda makes. That would be problematical, so they probably don't have an option like that. But, you need to come up with a better idea. I myself would say screw that tank inside and just close the valve, and I'd run a different hose down to it and put an outside tank. Since they did put the tank on top, it's probably gravity flow, which would be your only deal. That's why I was thinking an electric pump, just so when you got home, you could put 5 gallons or 10 gallons in a tank mounted alongside of it. Then it'd be out in the sun. Then, that might cause you another whole thought process in case you got a fire or on and on and on. So. But that's generally how I do it. I got a 8-gallon or 7-gallon metal tank that you put down on the ground. See, then you just put your permanently mounted little pump like you got. You still got to lift the lid and see what it's filling it to. If you only had a 5-gallon tank, like any that you fill up at the gas station, you'd probably never overfill it. But I know you just good enough to know that you're not going to want to worry about keeping an eye on it when you're electrically filling it up, that it might be overfilling it. Yeah. Yep. You may find out if you look into it enough that generator actually does have a fuel pump on it. It's probably injected, right? So it makes sense that it pressurizes the system. It's still probably meant to be a gravity flow, but you should look into that. If that's the case, you could just run a hose over to an outside tank. You know, doot, doot, doot. Just trying to overthink it. I like that. That's cool. It was when I was thinking about this other deal about the air hose running to the bottom of the amp. I was thinking about putting a short piece of ribbon in there with a pin or something so that you could see the airflow anytime you looked over at it. But in your air conditioning businesses, you guys probably got all kinds of thermocouples that you could simply put anywhere inside the tube area so that if it ever started getting too warm because you didn't know that your secondary air supply shut off for whatever reason, it set off a buzzer or something, or a light bulb, something. I like it. You could put that right inside the box. the air box, so, you know, with another little doohickey on the outside, a couple digital gauges for so you knew what was going on with it, like when you're setting your variable speed to match the CFMs you want and all that good stuff. I'm running down the hall in 6 NPM. I could hear you from just around the corner right there. I didn't want to pee myself. What, Larry, you did that for? Anyway, if a guy was to mass produce these air boxes, nobody'd want to go make the part, the manifold that hooked to your linear or whatever you were going to cool with it. But I guarantee you'd probably sell a couple of hundred of them off the top. Guys that have elaborate systems that just run an air pipe down the back of their bench so they could tap in anywhere they wanted with a short clear hose or something. I got to have something, though, some type of a warning device. Be a bummer to have to replace $500 to $700 tubes times two over a blower failure. Damn. So I'll get back with you when I get to that point. I have several two-digit digital, for lack of a better term, you know, readouts. I could put voltage in and amperage in line. That would, on the outside of it, cut out nice square holes for it. On-off switch, the variable speed. Well, it has an on and off on that variable speed, so I don't have to worry about that. But you could definitely doll up the front of this ice chest. Heck, you can buy them that you can have multiple choice on the color. Kind of weird, pink and blue and yellow and green, red, you name it. That's a very small chip. Well, I talked your ear off enough. I'll go look, see what's happening with the news. War could break out at any time. I'm waiting for him to do El Salvador. That's going to be very interesting, but we're going to cut back the drugs coming into this country. He's kind of attacking the problem at the wrong end. Can you imagine all these dopers, especially the heroin addicts and stuff, that are going to go crazy because there's dope's going to go sky high in price because there isn't going to be so as much easy access to it. They'll be scrambling, robbing houses, stealing cars, you name it, to get the money to pay the exorbitant prices. But I'll tell you what might happen further down the road is you might find people go back to work because they can't get drugs so easy. It's not worth sitting around all day doing nothing. Well, they let them get away with it, then Trump will send them a deal. Look, the next ones that come over are out of here. He'll add another rule to the rules of war, I'm sure. If you come within a certain distance, we're shooting. They're just seeing how far they can get away with, just like when Russia sent those balloons over Canada or Washington, Oregon, whatever. Remember when those balloons went over? They got the units. They know it was purely surveillance. They were just testing the water, seeing what they could get away with. Now they got drones. You have to send a whole bunch of drones to get away with that, but they have ways of doing away with it now from the sky, Jay. They can microwave them little suckers with Star Wars, and they can override them with wide band overpowering them so that they can't get no signal. They've already came up with ways to overdo that, running several frequencies. So you just got to cover a huge band with and a high power. It'll just drop out of the sky. And I'm sure that's what part of Elon's deal, he can actually do that. They're probably implementing a lot of that Starlink deals so that they can create that dome over the United States that they can do something about air traffic. Well, the El Salvador thing, or Venezuela, whatever, they're getting ready to go on land any day now. You wait and see. They're going to do away with the help of Starlink, I'm sure, and I'm guessing at that, but they know where every drug manufacturing plant is way out in the middle of the jungle. Yeah, they're just gonna blow them all up. Maduro, the president down there, they told him that he already told him a couple of days ago, get out of your area, otherwise you'll die, and you're no longer the president. The administration down there is afraid that the cartels will kill all the administration. And you could see down there in that land. I mean, it's overridden with mob style takeover. It's been that way for 20 years, I'm sure. But anyway, we could eradicate a lot of that. The idea is to stop people in America from using the damn stuff. That would be the other end. They should be attacking simultaneously is doing something about the dopers. You know, we really should just cordon off like the movie, cordon off New York, and put a nice wall up. And you can only go in and out through a couple of different places so you can get food and stuff into them. And send all the dopers to one state. If you get caught with drugs or anything, you just send them there. And if they get straight on their own, they can test positive, they can come back out. Test negative, I should say. Perfect. Perfect. That's what I call district mandering. That's what they're blaming Trump for. For regime change, using drugs for the reason to get the right administrators in down there so we can work with them. All right, N6NTM. Yep, it's only going to get worse for me. I still got a half a cup of coffee. I better go do something else. Well, very good. I probably won't be able to resist coming by and seeing how far Ron gets. He's still sleeping in because he didn't get back to me over that voice text I sent him about the hens. So, yeah, I want to see what he's going to do about hinging. That hinge was the right way to do it. I think we both know that. All right, good morning, Blake, Steve, and whoever's listening. Paul's at work or something, I guess. N6NTM, good morning.